Welcome back. I'm visiting with Zaim One, a.k.a. Jaime Rivera, who is a storyteller, poet, and musician. Zaim One is his stage name, and we're talking about Memories of My Melancholy Cholas. This is his fourth CD. It's available at zaim.bandcamp.com. You can also find him on Facebook, iTunes, Spotify, Google Play. He's everywhere. He's everywhere. I so enjoyed listening to your record because, as you mentioned when I first heard you speak about your work, you brought the art of storytelling back into rap music. To me, I've been a songwriter for a better part of my life. I really value the ability to make sense of something while you're writing a song. And you tell stories about all kinds of things, starting with the land of the Cholas, Commissary. Is a fascinating piece about what? You tell me the story of Commissary.
Commissary is inspired by this friend that had a girlfriend at the time named Jennifer. And so my friend got locked up and she always sent them commissary and yes, that things of that nature. And it's inspired in a sense that you can be in a situation and even you don't even have to be locked up. You just got to be in a situation where you could be in a bad situation where nobody wants to be around you, but there is always that somebody that will stick by you.
It was a thank you, basically.
Yeah, and that's what happened to this friend is that, but this girl kept on visiting him and sending him money.
Well, it means the world.
Think that's an awesome thing.
Well, coming into this part of the interview, we listened to a little instrumental piece, and that's the introduction to a piece called Behind Windows. And it has, to me, the really old-fashioned sounding classical guitar, kind of, to me, that's in a lot of classic Mexican music that I listened to as a kid. You have little bits of oldies woven through some of these pieces. In the Cool of the Evening is one line that struck me. You've integrated a lot of cool music, and you did it really nicely. Oh. It's a well-recorded album.
Well, thank you, ma'am.
Absolutely. And your subject matter, Galveston Queen. Tell me about the subject of Galveston Queen.
Well, before I start, I would like to, I'm happy that you like the production and everything, but I can't give myself all the credit, but I've been blessed that within working, I've met a lot of producers, and thankfully we got the same vision of
Well, they must like you. They do good work
for
you.
So. It's been a blessing. You know, like my friend Metronics that first started off with me that believed in me when I first started, and I just sucked, you know? I still think I suck. But
you're a typical artist, that's all right.
It's just been fun that people have embraced the music and producers and artists that put a lot of work and a lot of thought into their craft to be like, hey, Zaim, I got this beat. Make a song with it. And I think that's a beautiful thing. So that's a lot of numerous producers. And so getting back to that, we were talking about what song?
Galveston Queen.
Galveston Queen.
The subject.
Oh, it's funny. When I actually got my regular 9-to-5, and I guess I'm an educator.
What is your 9-to-5?
I work with special ed kids, ma'am, teacher's aide.
Awesome. Good
and
for so, you.
And yeah,
where?
It's I work at Chapin High School.
Well, good for excellent.
Yeah, for the EPISD. Uh-huh. And I finally got insurance. So I had a feeling I had diabetes and whatnot. So I went to the doctor and, lo and behold, I get there and women are so inspiring. She walks in and she's the most beautiful. She said, I said, doctor I've ever seen, but she said, no, she corrected me. I'm a nurse practitioner.
Okay.
I said, whatever you want, angel, you know? So she checked on me, came back a few weeks later. Mr. Rivera, you got to come in. I'm concerned. Okay, let's go. I'm thinking, oh, God, cancer, you know, the works. You think of all kinds of crazy stuff. And I get there and she's like, well, you have diabetes. And I was like, it wasn't surprising to me. I'm like, I'm big and I'm into sweets. So I was just like, okay, well, I have diabetes. And what made it funny is that it was inspired by her and my diagnosis of being a diabetic. And what made it funny is that this was the ongoing joke between us before she left. was that almost felt like she was like the angel of death, you know? So beautiful, but yet she has to deliver bad dreams. And that's why I say in the song that yes. The beautiful thing, and she delivers bad dreams, you know?
Man, to have a piece that flows, and because your rhyme schemes are good, your writing is strong.
Thank you.
You're not
Thank
compromising
you.
Everything just to keep the beat and rant. It actually goes somewhere, and it engages me and makes me wonder more about what's behind the story. So you picked a tough one with diabetes. What a subject. But it really caught my ear.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, she moved back to where she used to live. I believe so. But whatever the case, when we talked, she told me, well, I'm from Houston. Well, Galveston. And that's a come. I'll title the song after, like, you can picture it being like this beautiful boat, and in the side of it, it says in real beautiful cursive lettering, Galveston Queen. And
there
that's the
go.
Whole reasoning behind
kind of like the African Queen,
yeah,
but different.
African,
okay.
Galveston Queen. Yeah, there you go.
Well, this is your fourth album. The first is termed your psychedelic freshman album. It's called Gathering the Pieces with Metronics.
Yeah, I mentioned him earlier. He's,
all right.
he's a good friend, and he's the first one to ever believe in me and believe in my work. And the first guy I ever told, yo, I want to, like, rap. And so Ooh. I forced him to make beats. And
all right.
It worked out, you know.
Well, you do more than beats at this point. And your second album release was titled Quadrophonics.
If you go to any record store, and I like going and digging for records and mm-hmm. any secondhand store or any record store, you walk in there and some of them will say quadraphonic, and that's mm-hmm. like the old sound.
Oh, yeah.
So
mm-hmm.
I try to, as much as I could, and a lot of this music that we sample is actually off of quadraphonic records. Mm-hmm. So that's why it's called quadraphonics.
Okay, that's
yeah.
good to know.
Yeah.
And your third album titled Greetings from El Paso.
That's actually like a note to El Paso. It has songs like Trans Mountain and has a lot of songs that relate to El Paso. And,
all originals.
Yes.
All the albums, all originals.
Yeah, and it was such a blessing. It has Leon Metz on it, and it was such a blessing talking to him. And what made it such a beautiful connection with him is that I never knew that he had Alzheimer's.
At the time.
At the time. Okay. He's been diagnosed for 10 years. His wife
yes,
told
yes.
me this. So when I got to his house, he was so happy.
And he agreed to do an interview
yeah,
with you for the purpose of
yeah, and
recording
I, and
him.
I, and
How cool
we
is
emailed,
that?
And so he lived in the Northeast. So I,
How nice.
For some reason, I thought Leon Metz lived. I remember telling him, I thought you lived somewhere like in a ranch out there and Boeing Rancher.
No, he just sounds like
yeah,
it.
Yeah, he sounds like a country man. No, he lives in the Northeast. And
yes.
So I went to his house and interviewed him all about El Paso. And it was just a beautiful thing. All I had to do was just stay there, like, just with my mouth open, because he has just knows so much history, you know. And
oh, yeah.
And
oh, yes.
So I put him on the album, and it just worked out.
Oh, I've got to
you know?
Hear that one.
Yeah, with Leon Metz. And luckily, I got him at a point where he wasn't forgetting a lot of things, because we just talked. I have mm-hmm. the whole interview. And
beautiful.
Sadly, his Alzheimer's advanced, and the last time I went to go visit him, he's at the Veterans place out there, mm-hmm. out there in the Northeast, and he's been taken care of. But such a knowledgeable man, and so sad that he had to go out like that. And he's doing good. The last time I saw him, he was doing great.
That's
and he
that you go
kinda,
back and visit.
It was about
nice.
About 3 years ago I saw him.
Yeah.
And he was still good, and what made it funny is that he had a friend there, so I brought him ice cream, and I think they ate ice cream more than we talked. But it was
what's
fine,
wrong
you know,
with that?
And good old Leon met, so it was a blessing, and I didn't get famous off of it, but it's okay.
What is your idea of fame? I mean, with your music, what's your ideal outcome? Four albums in?
Man. Well, you know, at the end of the day, ma'am, I just like making records, and I mean, music has taken me places, and at the end of the day, when I was in my 20s, like any young kid, yeah, you start caring about fame, you want to be famous and this and that, mm-hmm. you want to be known, but then you get to a point that it happens to every young artist, where they focus and kill themselves every day, and they focus and they want to be famous, and it doesn't happen for them, they get discouraged. So that was a point where I was like, where am I really doing this for? Do I keep on trucking? Or am I doing this for myself and for the artistry? And I looked at it that way, and I said, well, I'm going to keep on going regardless. And And I'm fine making records. And if I happen not to be famous, that is okay, because I like what I do. And I try to deliver a product, storytelling, and something different, especially nowadays that a lot of the music that's been coming out, it seems like it's more quantity than quality nowadays. And and a lot of it's not really good stuff. And in other words, if anything, the music that comes out on top 40 radio stations at the end of the day, I don't mind it, because it draws that line between what my friends and I do and what they do. Mm-hmm. And for some reason, what I do doesn't make a lot of money, but it's okay, because I have my 9-to-5, and thanks to that, I get to.
That's a soul-saving point when you realize that there are options and your self-worth is not tied into having to be in the top 40.
So I have a job as an educator, and I like it because I feel like I'm helping, and at the same time, it's helping me because I get to fund my forever hobby, musical hobby. You know,
do you apply your skills as a storyteller, poet, musician in any way to your work with special ed kids?
Well, you know, with special ed, it's a little bit tough. You know, they all have different issues. And when I was a substitute, yeah, of course. I have a friend out there, a colleague of mine, Mr. Acosta, that's actually like from the old hip-hop from the 80s. Like, his beats are just amazing. They're like they're kind of like, you might say, in like a time capsule, you know, because he brings that noise from back then, you know, and it's amazing. But anyhow, he works out at Jeff, so he incorporates Shakespeare with Tupac and Biggie Smalls with all kinds of other poetry, Edgar Allan Poe, and you know, so yeah. And because I remember substituting out there, and it was cool because he'll tell everybody like, yeah, Mr. Rivera knows how to rhyme, you know, pick his brain a bit. So we'll incorporate a lot of stuff for the kids out there, and once they see you rapping, they're like, whoa, it's amazing. So
I imagine that would get through. Well, you have been a really neat discovery for me because of the sensitivity and the depth and the groundedness and the talent
that you
bring to something that I didn't think I could like, and I do now. I do like what you are doing. It's worth a listen, and there's seriousness and there's delight throughout your work. My guest today has been Zime One, a.k.a. Jaime Rivera. He has released his fourth album. It is titled Memories of My Melancholy Cholas. You can pick it up at zyme.bandcamp.com, or you can find him on Facebook, iTunes, Spotify, or Google Play. That's Zyme. O-N-E. He has done a marvelous job of putting something into rap that certainly has made it attractive. So thank you very much for coming in today.
Thank you so much.